Okay.
Please turn together in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 6 this evening. Title for this evening's message, Revived for Service. Revived for Service, Isaiah and chapter 6. I'm going to read these verses for you, and if you have your Bibles with you, if you could follow along, as I read, please. Isaiah and chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed opportunity you've given us once again. Lord, given us life and breath to be able to look into your word once again. I pray, Father, that this time, as we look into your word, that it would not be wasted. Lord, we know that your word is never a waste, but help us, Lord, not to waste this valuable time that you've given us in looking to your word. I pray you'd empty me of myself at this time and fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that you work in every heart, Father, and fulfill all your will. Lord, the results are to be with you. Help us to be faithful. Help me to be faithful to your word, and help those here to be faithful in listening. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So here we have Isaiah. So the title, Revived for Service. First of all, we have Isaiah's vision, verses 1-4. Isaiah's vision. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the voice and the house was filled with smoke. So we see here the person in the vision is the Lord Jesus, and the position upon a throne, high and lifted up. Oh, the greatness of God. How often do our sin-tainted minds fall so far short of comprehending the majesty of our God. Psalm 73:25, Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Psalm 8:9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And how many serious-minded Christians would say, I really want revival. I really want to see God work in my life. I really want to see the work of God go ahead. Don't expect to see revival Don't expect to see good things happen whilst people have a low view of God. A low view of God in the church, a low view that people would hold as Christians, this will result in low standards of Christian living. Shouldn't be the practice of Christians to speaking about God in irreverent ways, to have low views of God. Have you ever heard of people talk about the things of God or about God in such a cool way it's almost irreverent? Low views of God. You know how we ought to reverence God. And you know, seeing God in such glory greatly impacted Isaiah, did it not, as you read this passage here. Do you know that our faith in Christ here on earth begins and continues with looking to the Lord Jesus? We start with a look. Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." John 3:14-15, "Look unto, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Before we'd ever really know what it means to have God working in our lives, before we ever know what it means to have the power of God upon us, we must first have looked to him in faith. Many people believe in Jesus as such. So does the devil. So do the demons. The devils believe in Jesus and they tremble at his word. But first of all, that people must have come to a time of looking to Christ in repentance and faith and trusting him as their personal saviour. We have a world that's full of religion. Adelaide's a very religious town. You've got the Christadelphians, you've got the JWs, got all the different churches, but no religion ever saved anyone. There must first be a look of faith to Christ. When we look back in the Old Testament, we remember how that the Lord sent fiery serpents amongst the Israelites, and they bit them, and they were there dying. And God commanded Moses to place this pole in the camp with a brazen serpent on it. And whichever person looked, just simply looked, they were made whole again. And this example, this Old Testament example, is used in the New Testament in John 3:14-15. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Have you looked? Have you looked and lived? Because until you look, you cannot live. You're still dead until you have looked. Notice that with looking, it doesn't require much effort at all, does it? Those ones which were dying from the snake bites, which lay there in the desert, they did not have to get up and walk over to the brazen serpent. They didn't even have to crawl. They just simply had to look. God makes salvation simple. Man makes it complicated. Man finds ways to try to get to God when Jesus Christ is the only way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And how complicated we make it. When Jesus says, "Come to me," when he says, "I am the way," why is it that man always seeks to find another way? Why is it that they try and they try and they try? Why is it that they go for church membership? Why is it that they go for baptism? Why is it that they have their denomination which they are so loyal to? When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Have you come in repentance? Mere belief in Christ is not enough. Like I said, the devils believe and tremble. Satan believes. And there are many people throughout the world who believe in Jesus. But there has never been a turning. There has never been a repentance from their way and towards God. Repentance toward God, turning from sin our way. You know, sometimes we have such a view of ourselves that we're not really that so bad after all. Oh, I tell a few lies here and there, but really, amongst most people, I'm quite good. You know, God that can never even tell one lie. He's God that cannot lie. Oh, I'm not one of those people who's immoral every weekend. No, but where are your eyes? What are you looking at on your phone? What do you look at on the internet? God sees the heart. And do you know, when whilst having this view that we are not really so bad, do you know that any way which is contrary to God's way is wrong? And you know, when we repent, it's not just merely, I'm going to repent of this and this and this. It's just simply a repentance, a turning from my way of living. God, I've been trying to do everything my way. I've been following my sinful desires. I've been wanting to do things my way. I've even wanted to come to you, God, in my way or through my church or through my religion, but have never come in simple faith and said, Lord, I repent. Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. So to be revived, we must first be saved. Perhaps there'd be some here tonight who are still religious but lost. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. You know, once we're saved, we continue looking to God, don't we? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How our focus, our viewpoint, is always to be to the Saviour. How were things for Isaiah at that time? Things were really good in Israel, weren't they? No, they weren't. Things were bad in Israel at that time. Do you know, King Uzziah starts off, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a good king. The good king had died that year. Israel were in a bad way spiritually and things weren't getting better. They were headed for judgment. But do you know something so wonderful that we read here in this passage? Do you know that when all around was bleak, when all around was bad, do you notice that God in all his majesty and power was unaffected? God was unmoved. God was not changed, not moved by the hopeless circumstances which were all around. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is not moved. God is not changed by our circumstances. There's a saying, when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. When the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. Far too often, we look from God to circumstances rather than from circumstances to God. Many, many times, that is the way we are as human beings. We do exactly the opposite to what God says. Peter, who walked on water, as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and looked on the waves, he began to sink. And if you continue to look to your own circumstances, to look to yourself rather than to look to God, how you, like Peter, can sink. We are to be looking to the Saviour. Interesting, we see that not even the seraphims could look upon God. Seraphims have six wings, as we see here. Two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with the other two, they flew. They covered their faces. They covered their feet. And their words, we see the glorification of the triune God here. Holy, holy, holy. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, in our view of God, we must remember that God is holy. A lot of people who have their cool faith in God, but holiness is pushed to the side. Oh, they might say they believe in it. Hillsong would say they believe in holiness, and all sorts of other churches would say they believe in holiness. But our view of God, we must remember, in our view of Him, we must remember that God is holy, and that God also desires for His people to be holy. There's these upbeat churches and everything's just so positive and, you know, and whatever, but what about holiness? We've got all these programs, we've got everything happening and everything's working, and what about holiness? 1 Peter 1:15 to 16, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy." Do you want to know God? Do you want to walk with God? Do you want revival in your life? There needs to be holy living. How many preachers, how many Christians, how many churches have lost their spiritual power due to sin? What could have been a success story becomes a very sad story. What could have been success becomes a story of failure. And how we wish that others didn't know. How many good churches have just simply rotted due to the TV? Oh, come on. Not someone bashing the TV again. How many churches have rotted because of the TV? How many churches have been stunted in their growth? How many soul-winning opportunities have been lost? How many situations where missions could have gone ahead where the church has been stunted due to the TV? Oh, well, when I watch the TV, I keep the remote handy. You know, the remote can change the channel, but the remote cannot take that imagery out of your head which you just saw before you changed it. It can't. Oh, I changed the channel. Very good. What's in your head? From years ago, what stays there? And how much does it wreak havoc in your life? You want revival? God is a holy God. I know we have to be in this world and not of it. Do we not? We can't go out of the world. We're not going to go and... I think they want to do a mission to Mars, okay, but we're not going to go and start a Christian community out there, I don't think. But you don't need to bring Satan's Trojan horse right into the centre of your home, right into your lounge room. How many Christian young men cannot move forward because they are captive to secret sins through the internet on their phones? Something very small, but inside there, the ability at a few hits to go places that you cannot even imagine. With all the filthiness and the wickedness from the evil heart of man and all that Satan would want to push upon his people like that. Stuff you can't even imagine. All the wicked imaginations of people's hearts. What does the Bible say about playing with fire? What happens when you play with fire? You get burnt, don't you? A wise person will stay back from the fire. You need to do something with that internet, man. You need to lock it up. Internet in your home, you need to have some sort of filtering, some sort of protection. Oh, what's this? This legalistic preaching? No, it's not, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know we have to live in the world. I know we can't avoid every tiny bit of evil. You drive down the road and you'll see something sinful. But you don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Want revival? God wants holiness. You know, Evangelist Glenn Weeks, who comes around and preaches, he said he already knows of marriages which are on the rocks because of Facebook. Facebook hasn't been around that long, but already... marriages ruined. You have a soberness when it comes to the area of sin. From revival, God wants holiness. What was his response when he looked up and he saw God there? We see even the seraphims with their faces covered and they cry out, "Holy, holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, something here as we're going, you know, our world is under the sin curse with all of the plants which come up, the thorns and the weeds, and how nature is groaning and travailing. But you know, even though our world is like a fractured mirror, it still reflects the majesty and the glory of our Lord. And when Isaiah saw God in the form of the pre-incarnate Christ, he was greatly impacted. He saw God as he is, upon a throne, high and lifted up. What was his response? Start the CCM and start dancing. No, not when he came in contact with God and when he saw him. Woe is me, for I am undone. You look at that word there, undone in the Hebrew, what I understand it means, dumb. Maybe has further impact of meaning as well, but probably as he was there, woe is me. What do I say? What do I say as I am here in the presence of the Holy God on his throne, high and lifted up, his train fills the temple. It says in verse 4, the door moved at the voice, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You know, I don't want to take anything out of context here, whether this is the scripture to use it or not, how we want God to fill our church. Isn't that not what we desire, that God would fill our church in every aspect? That wherever we go in the church, we would find that God is there. That not only does God fill the pulpit ministry, but that God fills the pews in people's hearts and lives. That God would fill the creche ministry. That God would fill the Sunday school rooms. That God would fill the administration office. That God would fill the area of maintenance and work. And that all that we would do would be for our Lord. And say, God, fill this place with your glory. Oh, Lord, we've got our plans, we've got our ideas, we've got our renovations, but Lord, this is for you. Lord, will you fill this place? Fill it, Lord, for your glory. Maybe if in even years, people never even know who I was. Or even if they did, they don't care. May they say, wow, God was in Northside Baptist Church. Whatever people would say, we say, wow, God did something there. Do you know, back in the early days of Northside, it was once said by one man, he said, because I think there was some criticism, he said, well, that being said, he said, everywhere we go, we find people who've been saved at the Northside Baptist Church. All glory to God. Let's forget about glorifying man. God did something. God worked. People got saved. May God fill this place. I know that Pastor Simeon one time, he prayed and he said, Lord, will you raise this, something along these lines, will you raise this place up as a tribute to you or something along these lines. Basically, raise this place up to glorify you. As we'll see probably later on, that when we minister, things don't always go the way we would like them to go. Sometimes we might be in a lonely place. Sometimes we might not always see the results we want to see. But God doesn't judge us on results. He judges us on our faithfulness. And whatever happens, say, wow, whatever goes on, so long as God was glorified in what took place at Northside Baptist Church. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He confessed his sin. If we are to know revival, the sin problem must be addressed in our lives. If you are to draw near to God, it may be that you have to begin to deal with some things in your lives. And this is where it's difficult. I spoke to a pastor, and I said, Pastor Brad Williamson in Sydney, and I said how I want a revival. And he said, revival's never the easy way. Revival's always the hard way. He wasn't against me desiring revival, but he just told me, revival's not the easy way, it's the hard way. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And he confessed his sin individually, as an individual. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and also sin national, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. How often do we have too high a view of ourselves and too low a view of God? Now, I don't know if there'd be anyone in this room who really has a low view of God. Trust that people have quite a good view of God, but only God knows your hearts. But we need to remember who we are, that we're sinners saved by grace, and how we need to humble ourselves before God and be willing to confess our sin and say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me once again. So here we have the confession. And as I read there in Proverbs 28:13, if you confess and forsake your sins, you'll have mercy. And if you're not saved here tonight, this applies to you too. You come before the Lord and say, Lord, and be honest, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me. He'll do that. Next we see Isaiah's cleansing. Isaiah's cleansing, verses 6 to 7. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. See the instrument here of purging a live coal. Heat cleanses things, doesn't it? Sterilizes things. Way to sterilize something, put it into a flame. H.A. Ironside believes that this coal came from the altar of burnt offering, not the altar of incense. He says, that live coal was witness of the fire ever burning, which was never to go out, Leviticus 6:13. It constantly foreshadowed the work of the cross. Through that sacrifice alone could iniquity be purged and sin be put away, Hebrews 9:13 and 14. His lips touched with the coal, and then what happened from there? He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. God is a holy God. God is a God of justice. God is a God of judgment. But God is also the God of mercy. And the God of forgiveness. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What a wonderful thing, those words. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That's what God can do. Do you want revival? God needs clean vessels that he can fill. There might be some things in your life which need to go. There might be certain things which you have to go home and have a look. Really? Would God really want to see this book in my house? Off with it. These DVDs, would God be happy to sit here in my lounge room and watch this with me? What do you want? Want revival? Or do you want this other stuff? You know, we need to be willing for God to change us, to mould us. We get very happy just living the way we want to live, having our own little nooks and crannies of things that we do, and just don't want God to touch those things. I think it was C.T. Studd was with the matter, I think, of surrendering everything to God. He spoke as though he was giving, I wish I had the quote here, giving everything to God. Then he thought of one thing. And he said, no, you can't have that. And he said, I felt his presence slipping away. He turned to leave, as though the Lord turned to leave. And then he said, I'm willing for you to take it from me. And he did. And then how he saw what a trivial thing it was that he held after God had taken that and the peace and the joy that God brought to his heart. Pastor Charlie Haddad, pastor of Grace Baptist Church, where Pastor Simeon is preaching at the moment, when I was in Bible college, he came and he preached. And he talked about how not long after he got saved, how the Lord started dealing with him about something in his life. He used to go to the gym. Now, I'm not against working out, and he's not either. But he'd go to the gym, and there was two reasons that God convicted him about going to the gym. One was the sinful things that he would see because of what people would wear, and also the bad music. But he still wanted to go to the gym. So he'd keep traveling to the gym. And every time he would travel to the gym, God would convict his heart. But he'd try to make excuse. No, I'll just sit here and I can just listen to my Christian music, keep my head down and just train. But God didn't want him to do it, wouldn't have it. Each time he'd drive to the gym, God would convict his heart. Then one day, he was driving, his fitness first is where he goes, he was driving to the gym. And God didn't convict him. And he sort of said, hang on, God, aren't you going to convict me about going to the gym? And as though the Lord said to him, no, if that's what you want, you go right ahead. And I love it. He said he had this Platinum Fitness First card. And it was a cheap one. He got it as a promotion and it was a lifelong membership. You could put it in someone's name for it. And he said, and I tore it up and he said, I don't want fitness first. I want Jesus first. That's good, isn't it? I want Jesus Christ first in my life. And how that ought to be our desire, that we would not have anything else first but the Lord Jesus. Maybe some things that need to go. Don't be self-condemning. Just go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm willing for you to take something out of my life. I'm willing for you to change something if need be. Isaiah's calling, verse 8a. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, I'll read the whole verse. Also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isaiah's calling, whom shall I send and who will go for us? After the cleansing came the calling. God cleansed him, God purged him and then called him. Once again we see the Trinity there. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 in the beginning of verse 9, or first part, section of verse 9, the section of it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You might be here tonight and you say, you know, I don't really think I have many talents to offer God in the area of ministering or doing something for him. I don't know that I really have the intellect for it. I don't know if I really have the personality for it. You know, God wants someone who has a heart which is perfect towards him. God wants a vessel who he can fill. You know, when we are weak, God is made strong. And the fact that we may not have much ability, how much more is God glorified by that? Because God can show himself strong. And Mary Slessor, who went to Africa and ministered there, she used to speak with the chiefs of villages. And it was a very fearful time for her, and her hands would shake. So she used to knit while she talked with them so they couldn't see that her hands were shaking. Remember when I used to go and witness in Parramatta, how my hands would be shaking and how I'd be trying really hard to hold onto the tracks and to tense my hands so they couldn't see that my hands were shaking. I'd feel my knees shaking. We're weak, but God is strong. And never ever let the devil use something to say, you know what, you just are never good enough to do anything for God, because none of us are. We're all weak, But God is strong. And God wants someone who is cleansed, has a clean heart, doesn't mean we're perfect, but has a right heart before the Lord, seeking Him, has a heart after Him, and God can do the rest. God needs vessels that He can fill. Sometimes God does give us talents and He can use them, but sometimes, you know, natural ability gets in the way. I think it's been said, a saying, that you can be too strong for God to use. You can never be too weak for God to use. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Ezekiel 22, verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I was talking with Evangelist Glenn Weeks back in Bathurst when he came through on one of his visits. I told him about how God had called me to preach. He said, you don't know how glad I am to hear you say that, Dan. We're missing a generation of preachers. A lot of our preachers getting older. So much need. Churches which need to be taken over from other pastors eventually. More churches need to be started. If we had another 100 Bible-believing independent Baptist churches in Adelaide, we could still have more, couldn't we? In 1 million people. You know, I'd never ever want to force someone into the ministry who wasn't supposed to be there. But when I'll say, young men here tonight, maybe there's some of you, or one of you, I don't know, that God may want to call. You think, really, would God want to call me? David was just a shepherd boy. He loved the Lord, though. Amos was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He wasn't a prophet's son. Elisha was ploughing a field when the great Elijah came and cast his mantle upon him. Just be faithful. Be faithful to the Lord and keep your ears open. Sometimes God might not call you when you think. When God called me, I just finished my Bible college training. I suppose I'd go into an internship. And that would be the next thing to do. And then Pastor Harris preached at the banquet that we have at the end of college. And how I felt like I needed to sit up straight in my chair and thought maybe that God was going to call me. Went to that text about where it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? I feel the conviction of God's Spirit on my heart. If He called me, you've all got a chance. Isaiah's calling, Isaiah's consecration. Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. It's good, isn't it? Oh, what will it cost me? Will I have enough money? I won't have to be a pastor, will I? I won't suffer in any way, will I? I can still stay in Australia, can't I? I'll always be guaranteed lots of money, won't I? You won't call me to do this or that or that or that, will you, Lord? Here am I. Send me. You know, if you want to follow the Lord and you want to be used of the Lord, we sign a blank contract with God. And the terms and the conditions are just what He gives us. And our job is to keep our eyes on the Lord. Straight away, he volunteered. Gladys Arlewood, who was in China, she knew that God called a man to go to China. She spoke to Elizabeth Elliot and she said, but Elizabeth, he didn't come. Don't be one of those men. if God works in your heart, or maybe you know that God has spoken to your heart before about ministering, don't be one who won't go. Be available for God to do whatever he wants with you. Perhaps there's some here tonight who say, you know what, I just really want to serve God. I'm a young person or older person. I just really, really want to serve God, but I don't know what to do. Tell you what you can do. You can just simply do what God has placed right in front of you. Just do what God says for right here, right now. What does God have? Finish my uni, be faithful in the local church, or work my job, be a part of the soul winning outreach. Just do what God has for you right now and say, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm ready. If you want to do anything with me, I'm here and I'm ready for you to use me. Be ready. Be like Isaiah and just be ready to say, here am I. Send me. I don't know what it's going to cost. I don't know what you've got for me, Lord, but I'm willing to go. Verses 9 to 13, and he said, go, and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall it be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. How would you like this ministry? Are people just simply headed for judgment and you have that lonely job of just speaking out and speaking out and speaking out? Don't you think Noah used to get lonely? Hundreds of years preaching, 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 preaching. 100 years passed. Preaching, 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 preaching. Preaching, preaching, and preaching, and 8 souls were saved. 8 people on the ark, the rest were animals. Perhaps sometimes when we come to God and we say, God, I'm willing for you to use me however you like. We maybe don't necessarily think about it, but we have in our mind what we want. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think we should have vision. I believe we should have a desire to see souls saved. And how our heart should be full of love for these people of Adelaide. And how it should affect us and how we should pray and desire that the gospel would go right through this entire city and change it. That should be our heart's desire. But do you know, regardless of the results, God wants us to be faithful. And when we sign that blank check, there's not a part in there that says, I will sign up for the ministry, providing it's a successful ministry. We want to hear our Lord one day say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Regardless of the results. What would the Hillsongers said about Isaiah? Oh, you're doing it all wrong, mate. You've done it wrong. Look, everyone's going the wrong direction. You're doing it wrong, Isaiah. Change things up a bit. No, he did what was right. He did things God's way, and you leave the results with God. Got a quote here from David Cloud. He said, God told Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah and others that Israel would not listen to them, but they preached anyway. Oftentimes in the church age as well, God's people have proclaimed the gospel with little results. Adoniram Judson preached in Burma for 6 years before he had his first Burmese convert. And after 12 years, had only 18 converts. William Carey proclaimed the gospel for 7 years in India, Robert Morrison for 7 years in China, and Henry Richard for 7 years in the Congo before they saw their first converts. Robert Moffat laboured for 8 years in Kuruman, the northern cape of South Africa, before he saw his first convert. The first American congregational missionaries preached in Thailand from 1831 to 1849 without one convert. And American Presbyterians laboured there for another 18 years before they saw their first convert. When we say, Lord, here's my life, use it for whatever you want, whether we see many saved or few, or in some cases none, we say, Lord, I'm serving you. Here am I, send me. I'm serving you, Lord, and I am accountable to you. Still have a vision. Let's look and let's pray for God to save souls. I'm not saying that we should go, oh, well, you know, maybe people won't get saved, so let's just sit here and not do anything. Praise the Lord, we have seen souls saved, haven't we? Back in Bastion, hear the good news coming from Northside that someone got saved. That lady Irene just recently, and may God continue to save souls. But when we sign up with God, when we want revival, when we want to be used of God, we say, Lord, you write the terms and conditions. My job is to sign. Let's pray. Father, I'd say most people in this room, if not all of us, we would say, Lord, we want revival. And we say, Lord, we want revival no matter the cost, but perhaps, Lord, we don't know what we're asking. Lord, we still ask for it. And we also ask, Lord, for the grace for you to fulfill all your purpose, Lord, when it comes to revival in us. Help us not just simply to be consecrated on a mental level, but Lord, have our whole heart and our whole being consecrated wholly to thee, Father. Cleanse us and purify us, Lord. Not only you know what's gone through each of our minds in the last week. Lord, we don't see what's in each other's thoughts. But you do, Lord, and you're holy. Forgive us in the areas where we offend. Revive us even this night, Lord Jesus. Any here, Lord, any young men, Father, who would want to minister, Lord, please call them. Any young ladies who would say, I'd love to be a missionary's wife or a pastor's wife, I'd love to serve in some capacity, I pray that you would work in their hearts and in their desires. Those of us who are older, Lord, help us to continue to love you, Lord, to still know your reviving work, Lord, to still continue on soul winning, to continue on praying, to continue on fellowshipping with you and be counted to be faithful, Father, when we stand before you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.